Wow. I can just go sit down. All right. Well, I'm back up here again. Hope that's okay with you. So I had a weird thing happen a few days ago. This is a little weird. I live on Seal Farm, if you didn't know that. And right behind my house is loads and loads of woods and farmland. And on the weekends, most normally, people will come over there with their motorcycles because there's loads and loads of trails, really cool place to go. Thank you for the curtains. Thank you. That's awesome. Perfect. You going to do that one too?
I don't know whether that one.
I don't know.
Well.
I think we're
okay. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm great. Yes, great. Thanks. No worries. So anyway, so I've got these woods behind my house, and we hear motorcycles all the time, but on this particular Saturday, this was just last Saturday, these guys, some guys had come up that were on quad bikes. Now, they are a little bit wider, and they're ripping through the woods right behind my house. I mean, literally, my wife, Bethann's trying to open the gate to walk Vanilla, and she just turns around and comes back in because they're right behind my house. And then they go zipping down into the children's park, where kids are playing on their quad bikes. And I am a protector at heart, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I will go take care of this. Step out of the way. My S is hidden, but it's there. You know, so I'm going down there, and I go walk down to the park, and I'm like, guys, you're gonna, you know, you can't be here. And all of a sudden, they drive their quad bikes right up to me. And then they get off their quad bikes, and it was like the All Blacks had shown up on Seal Farm. If you know what that is, rugby players, humongous, four humongous, like 6 foot four guys get off their quad bikes. Yeah? What do you need? And I'm like, yeah. You know, trying to catch my voice, like, could you please not be here anymore? You know, I was just like, all of a sudden I felt really small. And then I just said, you know, guys, this is a children's park. You can't be here. And I'm not sure what I was expecting to happen, but I thought maybe, just maybe they'd be like, oh, sorry about that. You know, we'll get on our bikes. We'll get on our way. That is not what happened at all. All of a sudden I got a barrage from guys with their giant helmets on and their big rippling muscles just cussing me out and screaming and yelling at me that I had no business telling them what to do. And I am 50 feet from my house, and yet I am absolutely scared to death. And in that moment, I'm going, what do I do here? Because what I wanted to do is I wanted to turn into a ninja, and I wanted to take them all out. This is what I wanted to do. I'm looking at them going, is there anybody who looks weak at all? I'll get him first. You know, that's what I want to do badly. And I still actually think about that every now and then, like, if I had hit him there, maybe I could. But I just was, there was no way. These guys would have crushed me in a moment. And I was sitting there feeling outmatched, feeling scared to death. I'm 50 feet from my house, and I'm scared to death. My wife and my kids are over there, and I don't know what to do. And these guys are just looking at me, and one of them even said this. This still rings in my ears. He called me, you ready for this? It's funny, so don't feel bad. It's okay. He said, you fat midget. See, that's funny, isn't it? I mean, it's not true. I know I'm short, and I know that I could lose a bit of stones, you know, that, you know, multiple stones would be fine. But I just sat there and was like, wow. And I didn't know what to do, and I didn't retaliate. I just kind of stared at him with the meanest stare I could possibly gather up. And then I walked back to my house, and they left. And the reason I tell you that story isn't to feel bad for me. It's okay. The reason I tell you that story is because in that moment, I understood better what it feels like to feel completely outmatched, alone, and scared. Because that's exactly how I felt in that moment. I went down there all bold and bravo, like I'm going to take care of this, and then I came home with my tail between my legs. And I'm reminded that that's exactly how the enemy wants us to feel all the time. You know, we have an enemy that fights against us as believers in Jesus, and he wants us to feel outmatched, overwhelmed, scared, all the time. He wants us to feel isolated, like I felt. I was looking around like, there is nobody here to help me. I am all alone here. That's how the enemy wants us to feel every single day of our lives. Because he knows if we can keep us feeling isolated and apart from one another, then we'll just run back to our houses and we'll stay safe. We won't take risk. And we won't ever make a real difference in the world. Isn't that true? Isn't that what happens? And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. And what we have to do is do the opposite. We have to stick together. We have to remind each other, you're wanted, that that's not true. Thank you, Peter, for saying that. We need people around us saying, that's not true, what the world says about you. What the enemy is trying to get you to believe. He's going to try to take what are our weaknesses and expound on them and make us feel like we're losers. Like we can't do anything. But we need each other. As the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need each other. And that's why Paul, the Apostle Paul in Philippians, calls us to be unified. To be together in life. It's like a fire. You know, if you ever want to put a fire out, what do? You spread it out so the embers are all over the place. And then the fire eventually dies out, right? But if you want a fire to burst together, you keep the embers together. And you keep together as brothers and sisters. Are you guys with me? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say here? It's not the easiest thing in the world to talk about. But it's important that we understand that we've got to stick together, that we've got to stand together to love each other. And that's why Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. And we looked at it a minute ago, and it was such a great, powerful video. But it's a reminder that we need to be unified. So he talks about this in the book of Philippians, and this is one of the most coolest letters in the whole Bible. I think you guys know that. It's called the Book of Joy. Paul has helped start this church in Philippi, and he loves them. He's crazy about them. Matter of fact, there's hardly any rebukes in this whole letter. This whole letter is about saying, you guys are doing great. Keep going, doing great. And he's saying to them, you're a good church, but if you want to be a great church, then you need to do this. You need to be unified. And so he starts off by saying this, and this is from the Message. This is what we just saw up there. I love it. He says, if you've gotten anything out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care. Now, what a great way to get somebody in. Have you ever had somebody call you and try to sell you something? What they do is they try to get you to say yes about 5 times in a row. So you're like, aren't you hot in your house? Yes, it's hot all the time. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if it was not so hot in your house? It'd be great, you know. Wouldn't it be awesome if you felt cold in the middle of the summer? That would be the best. Well, I've got an air conditioner just for you. You're like, oh, yeah, sounds good. You're already down the road. You're sold, right? Well, Paul's doing the same thing. He's saying, listen, aren't you encouraged because you know Jesus? You're like, of course I'm encouraged. And don't you have a heart? Yes, I have a heart. Don't you care about others? Yes, Paul, I care. And then he says, well, good. Then he says, do me a favor. Or in the ESV translation, he says, then make my joy complete by doing this. And the Message translates the next bit as this, and I love it. This is the part I want to talk about for a little bit. He simply says, agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. Isn't that powerful? You see, every single person who comes to church wants a deep-spirited friend. Matter of fact, every single person on the planet Earth wants a deep-spirited friend. Isn't that right? I went to a leadership conference last year, HTB Leadership Conference. Nikki Gumbel stood up and he said this. I thought it was powerful. He said, people will come to church for loads of different reasons, but they'll only stay in church for one, because they have found friends. That's why you stay in church. That's why you long to come on a Sunday morning, right? It's because you've got friends. Here's the thing. We're supposed to be deep-spirited friends with each other. Matter of fact, that is the key to finding unity here. And my question to you this morning is this. When you show up on a Sunday morning at HBC, do you have some deep-spirited friends here? Do you have people that you go, I can't wait to see so-and-so? Well, let me give you my definition of a deep-spirited friend. It's not just somebody you know, you recognize their face, you give them a handshake, you say, good morning, how are you? Yeah, fine, how are you? And then you're off. A deep-spirited friend is somebody that you call when you're in trouble. It's somebody that when you get together, you don't have to talk about the fluff. You go straight to the deep stuff. You're like, how's your heart? What's going on in your life? A deep-spirited friend is somebody that you can just be completely yourself with. You can talk about anything. You don't have anything to prove. You don't have to dress up for them. They can walk in your house and they can go into your kitchen and they can make themselves a cup of coffee or tea. They already know where everything is. That's a deep-spirited friend. That's what Paul tells us. You want to be unified. You want to stick together. You want to make a difference in the world. You want to have a bonfire of a flame. You need to be deep-spirited friends. Are you guys deep-spirited friends? You see, I know what it feels like to show up on a Sunday morning and look around and think, who am I friends with? I know almost everybody here. Almost everybody here by name. But I don't always feel like I'm a deep-spirited friend with everybody. Right? Do you? Now, there's some of you who've been in this church for 30, 40, 50 years. And you probably would say, I've got loads. But you know what? Looking around, there's some other people in this room who've been here for a little bit less. I'm not sure if they would say the same thing. You see, we desperately want to feel love, don't we? I work with teenagers, and every time we start promoting a camp, the question isn't what are the activities, what are we going to do at camp? You know what the question is? Who's going? Who's going? If they have a friend going, they will go to camp. Why? Because we want deep-spirited friendships. Now, I don't know if you guys know, you probably did, last weekend, we had some deep-spirited friendships happening. Last weekend, 60 ladies went away for the weekend. And it was a little light on ladies last Sunday. Did you guys feel that? It's like, where are all the ladies? Well, they were off having fun. Did you know that? They were having a blast. And Doreen went with them, and she's over here waiting for me to call her up. Are you nervous yet? Don't be nervous. You're going to do great. Come up here. Come on. Talk into this if it's on. Perfect. You went away on the women's weekend, right?
I did.
Did you find some deep-spirited friends?
I did, day one. We were setting up on Friday evening, and as we prepared for the presentation we were doing, the acting bit, I was in a deep conversation with Annie and sharing about my worries about my family because they're not Christians. And, you know, how can I proceed? What things, other things could I be doing apart from praying? And she was very, very helpful and told me her story about members of her family, which really encouraged me about mine. So that was the first night. Another occasion, well, looking around, you see people hugging each other. There's lots of hugs going on. There's hugs and tears going on. And there's people praying with other people. So you knew you could open up to these people that you got to know. And that to me was wonderful. I got a bit of back trouble. It was troublesome before I left. It was worse when I got there. I had to lie down a lot. And I had all this love and care and cushions, hot water bottle. It was great. I was really being looked after. The back, my back liked that. Another thing. Discussion. We were speaking about the Holy Spirit because Ruth was talking about us eagerly using our gifts in Corinthians and Romans. And lots of gifts we know in this church are not being used. We know people must have them. And we're discussing that, how this church, perhaps going forward, could be using the gifts mightily, because that's what God wants. And that was really interesting how people viewed that and how do we bring in the whole church family to do that. And that was, because we had homework from Ruth to do, so I was in a big discussion group, and I really liked that. I was discussing with, listening with different people. It was really uplifting, and that's, yeah.
Great.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. You're awesome. Thanks. You see, we're never going to become deep-spirited friends in an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. This is where we have church together and we celebrate our relationships. But you know where we're going to become deep-spirited friends? We're going to become them on a weekend away, hanging out together, having margin time, laughing and playing games. We're going to become deep-spirited friends in our home groups, sitting around and talking and being together. I actually wrote a poem this morning. You want to hear my poem? All right. I'm not good at poems. It doesn't rhyme very well. It's a little bit ridiculous, but I'll read it to you. Here's my theory on deep-spirited friends. Ready? Go to the pub with Pete or Starbucks with Steve. Go golfing with Gary. That's not too scary. Go bowling with Bob or fishing with Phil. Go to the movies with Mike. That's what he likes. Buy a friend, phone a friend, or take out a loan for a friend. Because a friend in need is a friend indeed. Be a friend, a deep-spirited friend, because it brings great unity. That's pretty good, wasn't it? Did that on a napkin this morning. Here's the point. We've got some people in the church who have great friends. Celebrate that. That's awesome. We have some people in the church who don't. And guess what? We are no stronger than our most needed person as a church. Do you know that? It's like we're no stronger than our weakest link. In other words, if there's somebody in our fellowship who feels like an outsider, who doesn't really have a deep-spirited friend, who doesn't really know anybody, then we gotta keep working on it. Right? We're still responsible for that. It's easy to have three or four friends and be like, well, I've got my friends, I'm good to go. But if we kept reading through Philippians chapter 2, what Paul says is, that's not good enough. Don't just get three or four of your own buddies. He says this, put yourself aside. Don't push your way to the front, don't talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside, help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with just getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. In other words, it's not just about you. When we show up here on a Sunday morning, what we should be thinking about isn't, I want to get to my seat. I hope they're going to sing the songs that I like. I'm really hoping that David Pierce isn't playing the drums. Some of you think that. I know it. I don't. I like it. But, you know, anyway, you should be thinking those things. Here's what you should be thinking. I wonder if there's anybody in the room who needs a friend. I wonder if there's anybody in the room who needs somebody to pray for them. I just say things as I see them. You know, every Sunday we have somebody come over and say, hey, if you want prayer, we have somebody in the corner. Go pray with them. And most Sundays you just sit there on their own. Do you know why? Because we're too scared to admit, I need prayer. Because we think we're going to stick out. These ladies went away, 60 of them. They were all praying for each other right where they were. And nobody cared. Nobody was sitting there thinking, oh, I can't do that because it's going to look like I'm needy or scared or worried or outmatched or whatever else it is. If we're going to get to the point where we're completely unified as a church, we got to get over that. You got to be willing to turn around to the person next to you and say, listen, I don't need to go in the corner. Would you pray for me? Because you're one of my deep-spirited friends who I trust. I mean, picture this. This is the picture we want, isn't it? That anybody and everybody would walk into this room on a Sunday morning and they would see their best friends in the whole world. And they would go, those are the people that I can tell anything to. That I can talk about everything that's going on in my life. I'm not scared for one second to go up and say, would you pray for me? Can we go hang out? Can we go to the pub after this? Don't you want that for everybody? That no one is left out? Listen, we're going to disagree on stuff, right? As we go through life, we'll disagree. I love my wife more than anybody on the planet Earth. We disagree every day. That's okay. I'm a spender. She's a saver. We go to IKEA. I want to fill the car up. She doesn't want anything except for some napkins. Come on! Buy more than napkins. We disagree every day, but we still love each other like crazy. Guess what? We can be as unified as possible. We can disagree on all kinds of things. It won't matter if we love each other, if we're best friends. Will it? It won't matter at all. I'm on the leadership team with Nigel Hollingsworth, and Nigel and I don't agree on almost anything. We look at each other and just kind of glare, like, what are you talking about, buddy? But I love Nigel to death. Nigel has been in my house more times than I can tell you to help me fix something. Because he's a deep-spirited friend of mine. And I'd do anything in the world for him. So the question is this. Do you want to be a unified church? Where everybody feels loved? Do you? Yes. Of course you do. I'm doing what Paul did, by the way. Get that? Do you want to have deep, spirited friendships? Yes, of course you do. Well, I tell my kids this. If you want to have a friend, you got to be a friend. Don't sit back waiting for everybody to come to you. Start going to others. You show up here on a Sunday morning, keep your eyes open, start looking around going, is there somebody here I don't know? Is there somebody here sitting on their own? Is there somebody here who looks like they need some encouragement, some support? Put yourself aside. Stop worrying about your needs, what you want, your agendas, and start looking around and finding somebody that you can go and love. And when we start doing that, all of us on a regular basis, we'll be a unified church. And God will use us like crazy. And it won't matter if we all agree on anything or not, because we'll still just love each other. And we'll be a flame that the whole world will go, I want to be a part of that. That's what I want. That's what God wants. And I know it's what you want. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for today, for the people who are here today and how amazing they are and how much they love you. God, we pray. Our deep heart prayer is that we would have deep spirited friends, that we would love each other, we'd agree with each other, that we would bond together. We would take the time outside of this place on a retreat somewhere, or playing cricket, watching a football match, having a picnic, going on a bike ride with our friends, that we would develop deep, deep, deep relationships with the men and the women and our friends in this church. And my prayer, our prayer, is that every single person here would experience the same thing. That they would love to be here. Not because of the music, not because of the teaching, not because of the whatever else it is, but because they've got friends here, great friends here, that they love to be with. We pray this in your name. Amen.